Just relax.
You having fun?
Oh yeah, dancing. I'm good. Why?
I can do the splits. No problem.
Teach me. I can do it. You want me to break my leg?
Look for something unusual. Something hard.
Big surprise. Huge surprise.
Come on.
I want to fight a woman.
Kumite, and welcome to Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. I'm your host, Paul Schroyer, and I'm here once again to talk about the exciting 1989 movie, Kickboxer. I can't wait to get into this one. This is one of my favorites, probably second next to Bloodsport. So some fun facts for you guys about Kickboxer before we get into the movie. This was Jean-Claude Van Damme's debut as a director. He was listed as one of the last directors on the thing, so I don't think he had a huge part in it, but he still helped out with directing this movie. And also, Jean-Claude Van Damme choreographed all of the fight scenes in this movie. So this was his first fight scene choreographing that he's done and first time directing. So let's just get into this bad boy because I'm excited. So the movie starts out with kickboxer, you know, they're fighting in an arena, and you see Eric the Eliminator Sloan fighting some no-name dude. And what really amazed me about this part of the movie is Eric Sloan had a hell of a Jerry curl. And no matter how much he was kicking and fighting and sweating, he didn't lose a single curl the entire time. So he ends up winning in the fourth round, 30 seconds in with a roundhouse kick to become the heavyweight champion of the United States. Afterwards, him and his brother, Kurt, played by the one and only Jean-Claude Van Damme, are walking out of the arena and they're met up by press to do a conference. And Eric the Eliminator Sloan, and during the press conference, Eric Sloan says that Kurt wants to be a vet, but if he's not a lawyer, he's going to kick his butt. Now, I don't understand, like, let your brother live his life. If he wants to go and be a veterinarian, let him go be a veterinarian. Why has he got to be a lawyer for? I don't know. Throughout the movie, well, the first part of the movie, I should say, Eric is super controlling of his younger brother, which doesn't make any sense, and we'll find out later on. I mean, I guess maybe it does. So then comes the montage opening credits, and we actually have a clip of the opening credits that I'm going to play because I thought this was a pretty funny. I mean, it's a typical 80s intro, put it that way. So, Andrew, you got that ready? Yeah, this week I'm actually in the Nut House doing the live stream over at Magic Squirrel Network, which is awesome because usually I do this by myself and my computer is shot. I do not have one right now. So Andrew was nice enough to let me back up into the Nut House. All right, so let's get into this clip. This is the opening intro, or not the intro, but the opening credits to Kickboxer. So yeah, it's got that typical. Now, the music in this movie is hilarious. it's so literal. Like, it tells you exactly what's going on in the movie at the time that the music's playing. Now, Jean-Claude Van Damme's outfit is super 80s. Funny. Yeah. Right. Because he's like... yeah, he's taking pictures of children. I mean, he's literally talking about... yeah, you gotta love that open-vested jean vest that he's got going. Oh, yeah. Now, don't they look like the gayest couple in the world? Even though they're brothers. Like, why has he got his arm around him like that? And then look, now he's got flowers. So, not only is he sitting in a what is that? What's that called? A van? Oh, man. If somebody's watching and they know what that's called. But they're going down a river. He's got his arm around his brother. Now he's holding flowers. You can go ahead and kill that. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. for being brothers, they look like they're boyfriends going down to Vandalay. Vandalay? Is that? I'm giving up on that one. So they're in Bangkok and they're getting ready for the heavyweight championship fight against the heavyweight champion of Bangkok. And they get to a hotel, and Jean-Claude Van Damme still holding the flowers. He gives them to Eric Sloan, and Eric gives them to a prostitute. So apparently they just bought the flowers to give to a prostitute. That's cool. Whatever. Do your thing. You got a big fight coming up. So then they go into a training they go to a park, and Eric's got his Iron Gym wife beater on, and they're training, and Kurt's helping them train. And this is when you find out that Eric and Kurt didn't grow up together. Actually, Eric lived with his dad, and Jean-Claude Van Damme lived with his mother after they both got a divorce, and they actually didn't meet up together until one of them died or both of them died. It wasn't really made clear. But so I guess Eric felt like he had to take over as like the adult or the parent, even though they're both grown ass men. But he treats Jean-Claude Van Damme like a kid. So then they go in and they're getting ready for the big heavyweight match. And you see the banner that the champion is Tiger Tong Po. So that's who Eric the Eliminator is going to be fighting. Tiger Tong Po. And while they're fighting, while they're getting ready to fight, Jean-Claude Van Damme tries to talk, you know, is kind of like, oh, I don't know if you should do this. And Eric is like, no, just go get me some ice. I need ice. So Jean-Claude Van Damme walks out to get ice, and I've got a clip here for you guys. This is, as Jean-Claude Van Damme's walking down the hallway, he hears some loud thumping noises, and this is what he ends up finding when he walks down the hallway towards the thumping. Yeah, so he's walking, he hears the thumps. He comes up to Tong Po, and he sees this dude with a ponytail. That's it, just a ponytail. Kicking a pillar. And I mean, he's just kicking the shit out of it. Yeah, the plaster's falling. Now, Jean-Claude Van Damme's face at the end of this clip is hilarious. So yeah, so he sees Jean-Claude Van Damme sees him. Tong Po sees Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he gives it a quick elbow just to kind of show him that, you know, he's a pretty badass dude. So when Jean-Claude Van Damme finally gets the ice back to his brother, he's like, "You can't fight! This guy was kicking the wall!" Even though he wasn't kicking a wall, he was kicking a pillar. And he's pleading and pleading for his brother not to fight, but Eric, he's not listening to him. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And so what Eric does with the ice kind of confused me, because he starts rubbing the ice all over his body. I mean, I guess it's to cool him down. I'm not too sure. So then they, you know, so now it's time to start the fight. And it's not a very long match, because pretty much Eric the Eliminator turns into Eric the Eliminated with a quick elbow to the back while he's knocked out on the ground. Jean-Claude Van Damme's not having it. He jumps into the ring, tries to start fighting with Tong Po, but everybody kind of breaks him up. And that's when you meet Taylor. He's sitting in the crowd, and he's trying to tell Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, that's just how things are in this country. Let it go. All right, so Tyler says, "I never knew this guy exists," or he knew that Jean-Claude Van Damme existed, just never seen any of his movies. Tyler, you're missing out. You need to start watching some Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's some of the best movies ever. And Justin Kelly says, "This is one of the best ones, correct?" Yeah, it's one of the best. And probably one of the more well-known Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. It's second on my list to Bloodsport. But, you know, a lot of people put this as their number one Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Bloodsport's still fucking amazing. I could talk about that movie. You guys want to just talk about that movie again? So you see Eric Sloan get put up on a stretcher, and you see some guy wearing like a big gold chain up in the balcony, kind of like put like a thumbs down, like shakes his head. And so JCVD picks up the heavyweight belt that Tong Po ripped in half, and he follows the two guys out with the stretcher. Well, he thinks they're taking him to like an ambulance, but no, they just literally walk down an alley and leave him at the end of this alley and lock the gate behind JCVD and Eric and head back in. So, you know, JCVD's like, "Where's the hospital? Where's the hospital?" He flags a taxi down and they don't speak English. Well, here comes Taylor in his van with two prostitutes in it to save the day. So after some talking, he decides he's going to take Eric to the hospital and helps JCVD load him up into the back of the van and tells the hookers that, you know, they'll party later. And so they get out of the van. So they head to the hospital, where you find out that Eric had 10 fractured vertebrae and is going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. And he's going to have to spend 3 months in the hospital. At this part, Jean-Claude Van Damme confesses to Taylor that he's going to get his vengeance on Tong Po for what he did. Taylor tries to talk him out of it, and of course it doesn't work. Now, I just want to say, like, out of the three major movies that Jean-Claude Van Damme has done up to this point, so you have Bloodsport, Cyborg, and now Kickboxer, this is the most that Jean-Claude Van Damme has talked in any of the movies. I mean, Bloodsport, very little dialogue. Cyborg, almost no dialogue whatsoever. This one, he's like really putting his acting to the test, and he nails it. So, at this point, a tradition of most 80s movies, there's a sad montage of Jean-Claude Van Damme just walking. He's just walking down some hallways, walking past some statues, And of course, here's the literal music that's all sad, telling you just how sad Jean-Claude Van Damme is. This was back at the beginning of like soundtracks for movies, when they like were making soundtracks specifically for movies. And this soundtrack is specific to this movie because it's pretty much telling you what's going on. I can't iterate that enough. So at this point, Jean-Claude Van Damme meets back up with Taylor. Sorry, I keep saying Tyler because Tyler from the Cannibal Wine Tasting Hour just blew my mind that he's never seen a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie before. Like, come on, man. So Taylor says, all right, I'm going to take you to this Zian Chow dude. And he's going to, he can train you to fight Tong Po. But before that, Kurt has to agree to go out drinking. So he's like, fine, I don't know. He's like, Taylor goes, where do you want to go? The fake pussy or the kitten candy club? Now, if those aren't some fucking names for some strip clubs, I don't know. I'm not too sure which strip club they decided to go to, if it was the fake pussy or the kitten candy club. But they definitely go to a strip club. And I guess, I don't know, they decided to be a little classy with it. They had the little X's over the nipples of the girls in this movie. And surprisingly, like, there's no nudity really in this movie. And so Jean-Claude Van Damme is sitting there talking to Taylor. And this is where you kind of find out a little bit of a backstory about Taylor. You find out that Taylor used to be an illegal arms dealer in the United States who used to sell things such as rocket launchers and tanks. This guy used to sell tanks in the United States. How do you smuggle a tank? I mean, I guess the one dude, there was a dude who got drunk in an army base and stole a tank, but they definitely knew he stole the tank. I don't know. So he moved to Bangkok to kind of lay low for a while. And so then he tells Kurt that the reason he's going to help him is because he used to be in Nam. And back when he was in Nam, he let one of his buddies die because he froze up and refused and didn't help him. So he pretty much just watched one of his good friends in Nam die, and decided, hey, I'm gonna help you to kind of get rid of some of this guilt that I have. So you see Taylor take Jean-Claude Van Damme to Zian's house, and he drops him off. And as soon as JCVD walks, he's instantly trapped in like a snare trap in a tree, and he's hanging upside down from a tree. This is when Zian comes out and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I want to learn Muay Thai. And he's like, I don't know, I don't really teach anymore, but why don't you go fetch me some water and food from the village? And after some arguing, JCVD decides to do it. So you see him fetching water, and all of a sudden he starts playing with kids. Now, after watching the intro clip again and seeing all the pictures that Jean-Claude Van Damme was taking of these kids, and now he's playing with the kids, I feel like in America he has a 500 feet rule for any school district. I don't like being around any schools or playgrounds. I don't know. But as he's playing with the kids, they're scared off by these two thuggish-looking guys. And that's when he finally goes to where he's supposed to collect the food. He's talking to a Mei Li. I don't know. I'm terrible with names, and these aren't English names, so this is terrible. But he's talking to Mei Li, who's the niece of Zian Chow. And he also finds out that those thugs are part of Freddie Lee's gang. And that they come around and they collect from all the local businesses, just like the mafia used to do. Well, they show up to collect from Zian's nieces, and Jean-Claude Van Damme wasn't having it. So he quickly roundhouse kicks and beats up the two guys and pretty much stops them from collecting the money from the lady. But he totally trashes this poor girl's shop in the process. So I don't know what would have been better. How much money he lost? Did he lose more money trying to stop them from collecting it? Or would she lose more money by just paying the thugs? So she's pissed off because she's like, you pretty much killed me. Thanks. Freddie Lee's going to come and murder me. Awesome. So he goes back to Zian Chow's and it cuts to him sleeping on a deck on a mat. He doesn't even have a blanket. He's just like on this like straw mat sleeping on the deck. He's woken up by a bucket of water poured on his face and is told it's time to start training. So he's doing some yoga stretches. And then for about the next 45 minutes of the movie, it is just training scenes. Now, I feel like this was a part of the direction that Jean-Claude Van Damme had with this movie, because in Bloodsport, the first quarter or third of the movie is him training for Bloodsport. So some of the different... we'll get into some of the... Okay, so some of the different training exercises that they do are breathing exercises where the dude keeps putting his head underwater. He drops coconuts on his stomach. He straps raw meat to Jean-Claude Van Damme's leg and has him chased by a dog. And then after these training scenes, you see... Jean-Claude Van Damme's niece. No, not his niece. Man, I am drinking way too many of these monsters. I'm all jacked up because I love this movie. Fuck. So, Zian's niece comes to tell Zian about Kurt beating up the gangsters. And Zian's like, good. I'm glad he did it. So, she's walking with Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's like falling for her and pretty much is like, you're the most beautiful girl ever. But she wants nothing to do with him and just walks away. Next day, training, they go to a place called Stone City, which is an old ancient battleground. And Zian tells him to listen for the ancient warriors. And then he proceeds to start beating them with sticks. All of a sudden, you see a bald eagle land. Now, this bald eagle keeps showing up, and they keep cutting the clips of him. And I'm not too sure if the bald eagle is supposed to, like, symbolize America. Is there even bald eagles in Bangkok? I don't know. But he shows up every once in a while. So now we're 46 minutes into the movie, and we finally get to see Jean-Claude Van Damme's first splits. He, in the way they show him doing the splits, is kind of similar to in Bloodsport. Whereas in Bloodsport, he was like tied up between two bamboo stalks and his legs were pulled with a pulley and tied. And he pretty much had to just sit there with his legs spread. Pretty much the same idea, except he's laying on a table and he's got the pulley pulling his legs apart and he's doing the splits. So that's 46 minutes in. We've got the first splits. Another training sequence is him kicking a palm tree. And he's really showing that it's hurting like hell. And he keeps saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. Then all of a sudden it cuts to a fight scene between Tong Po and some no-name person. Where it shows him just kicking the shit out of him. And he just murders this dude. And I'm pretty sure he kills him. Then it cuts back to more training in the Stone City of Jean-Claude Van Damme doing high kicks and jumping spin kicks over Zian's head. Then it gets to more kicking of the palm tree. And Jean-Claude Van Damme says, I can't do it anymore. So Xian says, pack your shit up, get out of here. I don't have time to deal with a fucking pansy who's just gonna give up. And he's like, hey, guess what? Your brother can't kick anymore because he's paralyzed. So this pisses Jean-Claude Van Damme off, and he just starts having flashbacks of the fight between Tong Po and Eric. And he gets pissed, and he just starts yelling and kicking the tree, and he finally kicks the palm tree in half. Now after this is another montage of all the training exercises that I was telling you about before. Except for this time, Jean-Claude Van Damme is a hardcore badass, and he's just killing it at every single one of the training. Now, 53 minutes into the movie is when one of the most iconic scenes happens. And this is when Xian's like, all right, you know, we've had enough training. Now it's time to go to a bar. So you get done seeing like Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's completed his training, you know, like he's finally did it. Now it's time to go get drunk. So I have a clip here once Andrew pulls it up, of one of the most iconic scenes from this movie. Now, to set it up a little bit, this is the famous dance scene from... This is one of the famous dance scenes from Kickboxer. And it's... And to give a little background... Jean-Claude Van Damme, before he got into movies, was in breakdancing music videos. So, you know, he kind of had his own thing. So I'm pretty sure Jean-Claude Van Damme choreographed this dance scene himself. I don't know that for a fact. You be the judge of it. So here is the infamous dance scene in the bar.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff, man.
You could dance,
Dancing?
Oh, the dancing?
American dancing. Disco.
Disco.
Oh yeah, dancing. I'm good. Why?
Like to see you dance.
Now this is after Jean-Claude Van Damme's done probably 20 shots. So he's wasted at this point.
Here? Really?
I love the music in this movie. Yeah, dude, his dance moves. Looks like your dad trying to dance all drunk at a wedding or something. Now, where the two backup dancers come from? I don't know. Now, at this time... Xian is kind of going around and he's talking to everybody. Like, going up to these people, telling them... Well, I'll tell you what he tells them later. Dude, those moves are so sweet. I made my daughter watch this and she wanted nothing to do with this. Well, I didn't make her... I tried to get her to watch the whole movie, but just this dance scene. Okay, so that's splits number two. Yep, he does it twice in a row. And then he'll do, like, three more during, like, fight scene. Yep. Doing the splits. Beating people up. So by the end of this fight scene, we'll be up to four splits total for the movie. Yeah, and he's just roundhouse kicking and beating up everybody. People are grabbing him, he's headbutting them. He really sobers up during the fighting, but then all of a sudden, like, while he's wandering around, he's like, oh, stumbling, like, oh, I'm drunk. But then he starts fighting and he's sober. Roundhouse kicks a dude into the, or it's like a spin kick into some water in the middle of a bar. And then he gets hit into a jumping split, so there's five splits. He's got to finish that shot, guys. I mean, so then after, okay, I love that scene. After they're done, they head out and they are talking, and Kurt's like, why were those guys trying to fight me? I don't understand. And he's like, and Zian's like, well, I just got you a match. Those were some of the top fighters in the area, and you just beat them up drunk. He's like, but I don't understand why they're trying to fight me. And Zian tells him that he told them all that Jean-Claude Van Damme said their mothers like to have sex with mules. And that really pissed them off. They didn't like that. So we're up to five splits in the movie so far. So, about an hour into the movie now, we finally get to watch Jean-Claude Van Damme's first in-ring fight. And he beats the dude up pretty quickly in the first round. And everybody starts chanting, Nak Su Pow, Nak Su Pow, which means white warrior. So then they're back at the hut of Zian Chow's. And all of a sudden, Eric, Kurt's brother, shows up and says, hey, I got out of the hospital early. I think they kind of did this to kind of symbolize that it's been a few months, probably like two and a half months of training for Jean-Claude Van Damme. So then it cuts. So after he talks to his brother, he's all excited to see him. He goes training at the Stone City. And now, finally, Jean-Claude Van Damme can hear the warriors of the past. And he sees the warriors of the past. And they really did not spend a lot of money on the costumes for the warriors, because they looked like you could, something you bought at like Kapples or whatever your local costume store is. And then afterwards, he finally gets Zian's niece. All sweaty from working out, he finds her in a wildflower field, and they plant some more seeds, if you know what I'm saying. So then there's a little bit more training sequences, and then all of a sudden Jean-Claude Van Damme's talking to the dog that chased him when he had raw meat on him before, and he's like, you think I'm ready, dog? You think I'm ready? And the dog's just looking at him, and he's like looking at him like really disprovingly, and he's like, well, I think I'm ready. So apparently the dog thinks Jean-Claude Van Damme is just going to get his ass beat and really doesn't think he's going to win. It makes you wonder, who's really in charge of this training? Is it Zian or is it the dog? Who knows? So then it's a scene of Kurt and Eric talking, but this time the roles are reversed, because Eric is telling Kurt all the same things that Kurt was telling him before he became paralyzed about not fighting Tong Po. And of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme isn't hearing it. He's going to fight Tong Po no matter what. So then all of a sudden, Freddie Lee, the leader of the gang, sends a message that he's going to fight Tong Po. So all Jean-Claude Van Damme had to do was beat up some guys in a bar fight and fight in one real match, and he gets to fight the champion of Bangkok. What? I don't get it. But hey, but there's certain conditions to the fight. It has to be fought in the old style. And by old style, he means hands wrapped in hemp, dipped in resin, dipped in glass. And of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme agrees to this because he's feeling pretty cocky and he wants to avenge his brother. Then it cuts to Freddie Lee talking to, I guess, like the godfather of the gang, like the dude in charge of everything. And he asks to borrow $1 million. And they don't say dollars. He just says $1 million. So, but then when he opens up the briefcase later, it's in like their currency. So I'm not too positive what 1 million of whatever their currency is translates to American dollars. But he borrows 1 million to bet on Tong Po to win against Kurt. Then at this point, you see Freddie Lee's gang kidnap Meng Li or Mong Li or whatever her name is, Zian's niece, and takes him to Tong Po, where it's insinuated that Tong Po rapes Zian Li's or Zian Chow's niece. So Jean-Claude Van Damme's contemplating, like, maybe he should give this up. You know, maybe it's not worth it. He's back at the Stone City. He hears and sees the warriors a little bit more. But then again, he sees the bald eagle, and it lands right next to him in front of an old ancient statue. And he's like, yeah, I've got this. I'm going to do it. Well, Freddie Lee's gang isn't going to give up on just raping a poor girl. They come out and they stab the dog and kidnap Kurt's brother, Eric, by pushing him out of the wheelchair and just carrying him off. Then Taylor shows up in his van 2 seconds too late to see the dog bleeding and the brother's wheelchair empty. And after saying, oh, I didn't know Freddie Lee's gang was involved, he's out of it. He's not doing this anymore, but he'll take the dog to the vet. So they hop in the car, and you find out that the dog ends up living, which was good because I would have been sad if the dog died. I mean, how much tragedy can you have in a movie? You just had a girl get raped and a dog get stabbed. If they would have had the dog died plus the girl getting raped, I mean, come on, that's dark shit. Like, what the fuck? So now we are finally at the final fight between Tong Po and Kurt. And it starts out with breaking of the glass, and it shows them wrapping the hands, and they dip their hands in glass. And after that, Freddie Lee comes up to JCVD and tells him if he doesn't lose in the last round of the fight, that they have kidnapped his brother and his brother will die. So round one starts out and Jean-Claude Van Damme lets Tong Po just kick the shit out of him. He's just throwing kicks and knees left and right. Jean-Claude Van Damme's not even trying to block. He gets his ass kicked. And then in between round one and round two, it cuts to a scene of Zian beating up two people and grabbing car keys or some kind of keys from their pocket. Then we're in round two. Again, Jean-Claude Van Damme's letting Tong Po just beat up on him because he wants to save his brother. Another round of him just mercilessly getting beat. At the cutscene, Zian drives a car through the entrance of Freddie Lee's gang, runs over a bunch of people, hops out, starts beating up some people, and then the gang pulls out a shit ton of guns on him. And that's when, who comes to save the day? Oh yeah, Taylor. And he's got his M16 with a grenade launcher attached to it, and he just starts mowing people down in full Vietnam Army gear and everything. He just starts murdering people. So but at the end, Zian's not going to leave that easily. He finds a meat hook and hooks a dude right in the penis, pretty much gets him right in the nuts, and looks at Taylor and says, now we're even for Meng Li. I don't know if hooking a dude in the nuts with a meat hook is really breaking even on your niece getting raped there, dude. I don't think anything can ever break even on that unless you castrate the dude who did it. But you know, whatever. So now we start up round three. And at this point, Tong Po's not holding back anything. He just starts slicing them with the glass on his knuckles. And he's cutting them in various key points, like on his thigh, stomach, got him across the face a few times. I mean, he's beating the shit out of them. And at the end of the round, Tong Po goes up to Jean-Claude Van Damme and says, "Some of the creepiest shit I've probably ever heard in a movie." But he goes, "You bleed like Mong Li. Mong Li, good fuck." What the fuck? What is going on in this movie? Come on, man. So this is when Jean-Claude Van Damme not only found out his brother's kidnapped and being held hostage, but that his new girlfriend, love, whatever they are, was raped by the dude who paralyzed his brother. It doesn't get much worse than that, guys. I mean, come on. So all Jean-Claude Van Damme has to say to Mong Li about it is not, "I'm sorry, I can't believe that happened." It was, "Is it true? Is it true?" Like, he just starts yelling that, like, "Dude, you know it's true. I mean, come on." Like, well, round four starts, and this is the final round of the fight, and we've got a clip of this, but pretty much he sees his brother show up, and he decides, and he starts having flashbacks of the eagle and the warriors and all his training, and he walks over to Mong Li, and he's like, Take the hemp wraps off." So he takes the hemp wraps off of him. So he no longer has glass on him. So whenever you're ready, Andrew, let's pull up this clip of the final round against Tong Po. What's that? All right. So here we go. We got... Yeah, and I don't understand what the need, like, yeah, and then all the people start chanting "White Warrior." Noxun Cow? Dude, I am terrible with...
Cut these ropes.
Yeah, because he doesn't need them. He's got his revenge for everything Tong Po has done to him. Like, that's all he needs. There's the E. Yeah, now he just starts beating the shit out of Tong Po. The faces that Jean-Claude Van Damme makes is awesome. They're the blood sport. I love them. There's even a shot at one point, they do like a close-up of the dog, and he's like, the dog's kind of nodding like, "Finally, I approve of you, Jean-Claude Van Damme. You finally made the dog proud." And then, yeah, it's just relentless punch into his stomachs, kicking him like nonstop. He's doing roundhouse kicks. He did the splits again. We're up to 6 splits, and that's the last one for the movie. He knocks him out of the ring. Yeah, you can go ahead and cut the clip. So at this point, Taylor stops the dude from ringing the bell to end the round. So, like, this is the final round no matter what, because they're not going to end it. And so he knocks Tong Po out the ring. He goes out. He's beating up on him a little bit. Freddie Lee walks over. For some reason, walks in, over towards him. And... Jean-Claude Van Damme knocks both Tong Po and Freddie Lee out in one kick. Gets them both, knocks them both out. And then, as Jean-Claude Van Damme's lifted up into the air, another literal song comes on, starting with Never Surrender. And then it goes into explaining more about what you just watched, because that's how they do it. And that's 1989 Kickboxer. So, let's recap on some of the key things that we like to talk about here on Van Damme's Jean-Claude. He does six splits throughout the movie. Seven if you count a repeat clip of his during the training montage of them using the pulley to pull his legs apart while he's laying down. I didn't count it because I felt like that's the same. They used the same clip. It's one split. They just used it twice. So 6 to 7, whatever. He showed his butt zero times in this movie. And really, I mean, for you JCVD butt lovers out there, it's a disappointment. And usually in his movies, he prevents a girl from getting raped. This is, I believe, I could be wrong about this, and we'll find out as the episodes continue. But I'm pretty sure that this is the only movie where he doesn't stop them from that. They actually get raped in, and he gets his revenge, you know, for the raping, but never actually stopped it from happening. So that's 1989 Kickboxer. Love that movie. So next month, let me pull up the date of that. We do this. As you guys know, the first Saturday of every month is Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. Oh, before we get into the next movie, we are not on SoundCloud anymore. We have left the Magic Squirrel. Well, we're still on Magic Squirrel Network, but there's no longer a Magic Squirrel Network on SoundCloud. All the podcasts kind of got their own little thing. So we are on Anchor FM, or you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. So make sure you listen, you rate and review us. Let me know what you guys want more of. You know, this usually I'm hosting a podcast, Pointless Discussions, with a friend of mine, Mark Reynolds. I'm a little new to doing this by myself, so bear with me a little bit till I, you know, get my feet wet, so to say. So if you guys want to hear some specifics in a movie, anything, leave a comment or review, and I'll be sure to, you know, try to add that in. So August 4th will be the next Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude, and we are talking about the 1990 movie Death Warrant. So I don't remember much about this movie. I know I've seen Death Warrant before, but I honestly, I feel like it's Jean-Claude Van Damme playing a cop. I'm sure somebody probably gets raped in it, but here, let me pull up what IMDb says about Death Warrant. Here we go. A maverick detective goes undercover in a prison to find out why so many prisoners are dying there. He discovers it's all part of a highly organized and lucrative trade in human organs. And once his cover is blown, it looks as though he is next for the chop. That sounds like an awesome movie. I cannot wait to watch this movie. Oh my goodness. So Death Warrant. He actually recently, in like 2015, 2016, came out with a movie that I can't... One of my favorite movies... Where he actually has a kidney removed and he has to go try to find the person who removed his kidney and get it back. It's so awesome. I can't remember. It's something like In the Flesh or, oh, Pound of Flesh. It sounds like a porno. It's called Pound of Flesh. Dude, watch that movie. It is so good. One of my new favorite, probably fourth. No. Assassination Games is fourth on my list. Probably fifth on my list is Pound of Flesh. Because I'm telling you what, for having a kidney removed, he still kicks ass. So yeah, that's it, guys. Rate, review us, find us, subscribe to us on whatever you're listening to, and I'll see you guys next month. Kumite.
This world is magic!